and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the third week of our preaching series on the power of vision. And again, you can recall back in the fall, we talked about our purpose statement here at St. John's. What is it that we need to measure everything that we do against in our lives, in our programs, everything that we do here? And we shared that with you, that we discern that our purpose is to form disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel. Now that's the what, but the how is what we've been talking about the last couple weeks in our vision statement. You might recall, and it's been reprinted on our website and in the bulletin the last couple weeks, that St. John the Evangelist is a vibrant Catholic community that brings people to Christ, forms disciples, and sends them forth to transform the world. How do we do that? By each member faithfully committing to worship God, which we talked about the first week when we spoke about the Magi, to serve others and form friendships, which we spoke of last week, that is having an attitude of outreach, reaching beyond our community, as well as forming friendships within our community. Today we'll talk about maturing in faith, growing in holiness, and then next week, sharing one's gifts and proclaiming the gospel. It's not an unfamiliar scenario for us to see Jesus calling disciples to follow him. He calls them, he invites them. In many ways, he's like a fisherman himself. In the gospel today, four fishermen are called: Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John. And Matthew's gospel doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. I struggle with believing that it was as simple as the gospel may let it be there, but maybe their faith was so ripe that when Jesus called, they couldn't help but to respond. For many of us, though, I think sometimes God calls us and we struggle with what it means to respond to that call, to enter into that encounter, that is, not just being brought to Christ, but taking it to the next level. And what we see right away that Jesus does in the gospel today, he begins to form those disciples. They start to be witnesses of what he does, someday knowing that they're going to have to do likewise. The gospel makes mention that they all went around Galilee teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and being agents of healing, curing every disease, every illness among the people. That was their school of discipleship. That was their time of being formed, of learning what it meant. Our formation cannot just be external. Last week we spoke about forming friendships, being formed in good, holy Christian friendships. We spoke also of being formed in an attitude of service, of reaching out to others. But also we need to be formed interiorly, internally, in that school of discipleship. And it comes down to two things. Maturing in our faith. That is, not just saying, I believe, but knowing what we believe as Catholic Christians and why we believe it. Now, I don't believe at Heaven's Gate that before we get in, that Jesus or St. Peter or anyone else delegated is going to give us a pop quiz on the catechism. But it is important not to just say, I believe and I assent, but to know why it is. Now, certainly, Jesus tells us, faith the size of a mustard seed is more than sufficient to move a mountain. And yet, the scriptures also tell us that we need to be ready to give an account of our faith. Growth in holiness only comes through prayer. Growing in holiness is that idea of us getting to the point where we make decisions that are not just self-centered. What I want, what gives me pleasure, what is the path of least resistance. Growing in holiness is coming to the point of being able to do what's right, even without counting the cost. When Jesus called the disciples, they were like fish. But there are really a couple of different types of fishermen, aren't there? There are many. But we often think of the fisherman who casts out the bait, attracts the fish, takes the fish in, takes it home, fillets it, and eats it. Jesus, as a fisherman in this case, is more into catch and release. But it's not just that he catches disciples, that he attracts them. He does spend time with them in schooling them and does release them back. Because our lives of discipleship are like ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the gospel in our world. But you know, like any diplomat, any ambassador, if they're sent to represent the leader of their nation, not only do they need to know where their leader stands, if they're going to be a good diplomat, they also need to know where it is that they're heading. Now here's the irony. As disciples, we are like those people who are plucked out of the land of darkness, brought into God's wonderful light. And we bask in that and we hold on to that light, but then we are called to go back in to areas that are permeated by darkness. That's how the people in great darkness continue to see a great light. It's the light of you and me allowing Christ's light to shine through us. And that light shines brighter and brighter and brighter the more that we are prepared, the more that we are studied, the more that we are praying, the more that we know Jesus Christ ourselves makes us good ambassadors. It takes some time though, doesn't it? You ever see that catechism? It's pretty thick, isn't it? You ever read the catechism? It's good bedtime reading, isn't it? It's a great place to go as a reference, to get the bottom line. But it's not just that we get the answers in our head and say, this is what the church teaches. It gives you some of the whys and gives some great footnotes in terms of appealing to the fathers of the church and sacred scripture. But we need to sit with it. You know, we can't allow ourselves to be content with a religious formation that ended at our last sacrament. Sadly, when we look at the Catholic landscape today, there are many people who have little or no catechesis at all. Some were baptized and nothing more. Some may have made it to First Communion, and that was it. Imagine getting a license to drive if you'd had a seventh grade education of what it meant to be able to drive. Could be a bit of a disaster, right? Or maybe it was confirmation. But all too often in our confirmation programs, we get the knowledge, we get the sacrament, and then we go away. What Jesus is calling us into is a deeper relationship. That's why it can't just be catechesis. It can't just be the knowledge separated from a heart that's been converted. Jesus called the disciples first into relationship. He said, follow me. And after they followed, he said, learn from me. And after they learned, he said, go make more disciples. That's the core of our vision in this community. That we call each other to Jesus. That we commit ourselves to being formed as disciples, and we go and we make more. That's the proof of our effectiveness as a Catholic, as a Christian community. That's our proof of our effectiveness as a disciple, in that we are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are making disciples. But none of it ever stops. We're never totally, completely formed. Most important is our prayer life. And I'd say, if you haven't done it already, engage in some sort of Eucharistic adoration. When we have exposition on First Fridays, it's a great opportunity to simply come and be in the presence of the Lord. But even outside of that, to sneak a few moments in church. It might be just coming to church a little bit early or staying a little bit after. Recognizing that God is here, just as the Lord is present in His people and in His Word. He's also present in the sacrament that really should stir up in us a hunger for deeper union and communion with Him. But also commit ourselves to ongoing formation, to go for a maturity of faith where we not just know what we believe, and sometimes we're not always quite sure, but also to know why we believe it. One of the great things that we have in this community is so many opportunities to grow in our faith, to go on to a deeper level. We're starting up another one just this coming week. Bishop Robert Barron, who did that marvelous series called Catholicism a few years back, he has a sequel called Catholicism, The Pivotal Players, which kind of shows the landscape of the church in different ages of Christianity. That may be something worth looking into. Or getting into something like Walking with Purpose, or That Man Is You. Or if you're struggling to make sense of anything to do with faith or God or church or any of those great questions, join that group of phenomenal people that came last Tuesday night for the first session of Alpha. They had a great meal, but also some really great conversation. There were people at that meeting that I've never seen in church, and some by their own description who haven't been to church in years. At my own table, there was this delightful woman who was raised Islamic. and is really looking for answers. You know, we can't spoon feed the answers, but I really do believe God's Spirit can move and direct us to where He wants us to be, if only we have a little bit of docility. So let's commit ourselves to not just be Catholics who are spectators, not just be Catholics who say, I'm Catholic because that's what I was baptized and that's what I am. Not Catholics just by affiliation, but Catholics by conviction, knowing what we believe and knowing who it is that we believe in, knowing Him in a personal way, every day inviting Him into our hearts and letting that Holy Spirit be unleashed in our lives. Because indeed, that's what we need to do if we're going to be a community that calls others to Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a community that forms disciples. And if we're going to be a community that goes out to transform our world. We have to have it start at home. And you know, if you don't have time, you say, I can't make it to this, I can't make it to that. Do I have a deal for you? Our parish has a subscription to this marvelous online resource called Formed. Look in the pastor's corner and in the bulletin today, we have a parish ID there. You go to formed.org, there are movies, electronic books, talks, all kinds of resources for all ages. I'm working on one right now called The Wild Goose with a Franciscan priest. It's all about chasing that wild goose, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Beautiful. Each segment's like 20, 25 minutes. Take that, listen to it in the car on the way to work. It reinforces a lot of what may be there and just might unleash something you might not have even known. But it all comes down to being intentional about our discipleship, letting God form us, letting God use us, letting God transform us. Amen.